All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Chris Mayo. I work on the Windows 8 platform evangelism team. My job at Microsoft is to help our customers and our partners design and develop their first application for the Windows Store. And in this talk, what we're going to be talking about is integrating with Windows 8 experiences. So if you think about building an app for Windows 8 or building a Metro app for the Windows Store, you know, what do you want out of that app? Well, you want to create an app that's not only great at that thing that, you know, the app does, right, a great app in itself, but you also want it to feel like a Windows 8 app. And you want it to, you know, look like a Metro application, but also participate in some of the experiences that you see throughout Windows 8, like the share feature or the search feature or file-to-file or app-to-app picking. So in this talk, what we're going to talk about is those experiences that are built into Windows 8 and how you can integrate features from your application into those different experiences. So your app, you know, though it does something unique, that thing that it's great at, participates and feels like it's just another extension of Windows 8. And hopefully the result of that is your app gets downloaded tons and tons of times and has a really high, you know, 5-star rating, and lots of people are talking about it and recommending it to each other, and you're very successful, right? So let's talk about these Windows 8 experiences. And probably the best way to kind of get a feel for these experiences is just to use them. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to go ahead and go to the start screen. And let's go ahead and do the first experience that most people start playing around with. I'll go to MSN. Oops. And let's just go start looking at stories. So I'll go to, I don't know, sports. Let's go to the NBA. Okay, and here's a story about the NBA championship. So let's say that this is a story that I'd love to share with my friends, right? So what do I want to do? Well, I want to invoke the share feature, so I'll go ahead and just swipe in from the side, or you can also do this with Windows C, and that'll invoke the charms bar. And this provides, or this invokes the charms bar, which provides all the different global Windows experiences like search and share and devices and settings that you can leverage within your app. So I'm going to go ahead and say share. And then what's going to happen is there's a couple of different things happening here. The first one is IE10, the touch version of IE10, participates in the share contract that we'll talk about in a minute as a share source. So every time you go to a page, it's packaging up information or content from the page in such a way that when you invoke the share feature as a user from the charms bar, that data is available. So you can see here that this is the source app, IE10. This orange bar over here is the share pane, and that's listing all of the different apps that can consume that share source data as a share target, so they can accept that data. So you can see here one of them is mail. So let's go ahead and click on mail. And you can see here it fires up a new mail, and it populates the title of the, you know, the story, and then gives me an opportunity to pick, you know, which picture is going to go in there. Right? There we go. There's the picture of LeBron, and then it has a link and stuff like that, and I can send that off as a mail. Right? Or if I picked a different application like People, I could go ahead and share that to, let's say, Facebook, right? That's one of the applications that I've registered within the People app that comes with Windows 8. Now, this is really, really cool for a couple of reasons. One is, in my app, I don't have to sit there and implement 16 different buttons for all the different things that I could share with, like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and yada, 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 yada. All I do is I implement being a share source, so sharing information from my app, right? And I share as many of the different data types that we'll talk about when we go to actually implement this, such that any app that supports any of those data types is going to show up on that list. Right? So that's me as the share source. Now, I also want to implement the share target feature. So this people page, and then this mail page, both of these pages are actually coming from my app when I act as a target. So I'm actually, you know, all these are controls. They're populating a, you know, an HTML5 form that I can use in order to interpret that data in an app-specific way. And, of course, for the mail app, what does it do? The mail app creates a new mail. That's the right way to interpret that data as part of that share experience. Now, why would I want to implement that feature as a target? Well, one of the things that you want to do that we talked about earlier in the talk is you want people to love your app. You want them to download it. You want them to rate it really highly. You want them to tell their friends about it, right? And one of the ways to do that is, of course, be an awesome app, right? And the other way is to make sure that people use your app as much as possible. So when I invoke the share feature, because I just love to share things, right, as a user, I have a choice of apps. You want your app in that list. You want your app to be launched. You want your app to be used, right? If you don't implement either the share source or the share target, people won't share from your app, right? And people won't share to your app. And if you give up those features, if you decide not to implement those features, that's part of the Windows 8 experience that you're just passing on, right? And it'll feel like, let me give you an example. Let's go back to the start page. And let's go to the news app. This will show up if you don't act as a share source. There's nothing to share right now, right? If you go into an individual article, you do have the ability to share. Okay. So this is obviously, this app obviously hasn't implemented the share feature. They've just kind of put a stub in there to say, hey, this, you know, this app doesn't share. I'm sure they're going to implement it soon. But if you use that as an example, that's if you implement the share source, you have the opportunity to share. As you share more, you can add something into your application that says, hey, shared from my app. Go here to the store to download it. If you participate as a share target, it's going to show up in that list of apps that you can share to, which will result in more launches of your app, more uses of your app, more people loving your app. Okay? So that's sharing. Let's use another example. Let me go to do some searching. Let's just pick an app here. Let's go here. So we'll go into music. Okay, and the music app comes up. Okay, and I'm signed in, and let me just search for, there's Lil Wayne. All right, so I'm going to search for Lil Wayne. And there's a couple of things that are happening here, right? I invoke the search feature, right? Or I invoke the charms bar, I invoke the search feature, and then I have this search bar. All of this orange here, this pane, this is the search feature of Windows. I have just in my app told Windows that I participate in search. So if I'm the active application, or if someone picks my application from this list, right? So let's do Lil Wayne, and I'm just going to hit return. Here you can see there's a couple things going on here. The music app has populated that list with all the things that are associated with that music app associated with Lil Wayne, and it's even provided search targets to say that, hey, by the way, Lil Wayne is like a direct hit in my app, so I'm going to show you a picture and tell you that it's an artist, right? Interpreting that search string in an app-specific way. And if I go ahead and select one of those, it's going to take me to the Lil Wayne page, right? Where I can listen to music and find out about Lil Wayne as an artist and so on. But this is really cool, so let's go to search, and I can search for Lil Wayne again, right? But if I don't find what I'm looking for and I want to try something else, I can pick any of the apps here in the search list, that support search, right? So it's not only the active application and doing a search from the active application, but I can also search anywhere on the system. So not just apps and settings and files, but I can search within apps. Like doing a Bing search in IE10 for Little Wayne, right? So why do I want to implement this? Well, a couple of reasons. One, it's a universal way within your application to implement search, right? And that's awesome because users of Windows 8 are going to get used to searching this way, and they're going to expect the search feature to be implemented in your app this way, just like it is in all the built-in apps, all the apps that we're putting in the store, and so on. So from a design perspective, fantastic. The other reason why you want to implement this is that it puts your app in this list. It puts it in the search list, right? Which, if people don't find what they're looking for on the app that they're in, and they've used your app before, they love your app, they trust your app, they're going to pick it. It's going to result in more launches, more usage. Maybe they'll share again and tell their friends about your app. They'll give it a 5-star rating. Tons of people will download it, and you're rich and famous. Right? Great idea. Okay? And there's experiences like this throughout Windows 8, and these are just a couple of them. The last one, and this one I really, really like. It's just a great example of how we can implement these experiences within our own apps to create something that's really, you know, larger than the sum of the parts. So I'm in the mail app, and I've said I wanted to create a new mail, and I want to have some attachments, right? And it takes me to the file picker within Windows 8. And you can see here that it defaults to wherever I was last in my documents, but I can select from my documents, my pictures, music, videos. I can also pick apps, right? So I could pick, and I hate doing this, but I'll do it for the demo. I could pick the picture app, right? And I could take a picture of myself. Awesome. I'm definitely sending that to my mom. She'll really appreciate that, right? And I'll say OK, and I'll say attach. And then you can see there that I didn't pick a file from the file system, though you could definitely do that. I picked something from an app. So you can do app-to-app picking via these contracts. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I think it's important because we as Windows 8 app developers, we want downloads, we want high ratings, we want people talking about our apps, we want, you know, 10 million times $1.49, you know, that's what we want to happen. This resulted in a launch of my app and a use of my app. And I could include information, you know, within there like, hey, this comes from the, Contoso recipes or whatever. Okay, so that's app-to-app picking. So all the different devices, or all the different charms on the charms bar all participate in this. So for settings, I can implement settings for my app. Like, let me go back here. This is actually Windows. I just populate the list of the different settings or configuration details about my app. When I click on this link, it takes to a page in the app. And for mail, for example, this is an app-specific setting of setting up accounts. If I go back, devices, if I did stuff like if I was a music app and did plays to, so I could, you know, play to like an Xbox or play to a different device or something along those lines, or hook up a second screen or things like that, I can participate via these contracts. And you participate in a contract-specific way, and then Windows takes care of all of the brokering, right? So rather than sharing by putting 16 million, you know, buttons on my app, I just implement the contract, and I've implemented it for every app that participates in the contract. Okay? So super, super powerful. So there's lots of these. The ones that I had mentioned, share, search, file, will actually develop today during the session. There's also the settings that I had mentioned. There's plays to. I've got some resources linked to the back of my slide that you can look at. And as a part of the design of your Windows 8 application, you should go through these contracts and understand what they are and figure out, specific to your app and that thing that your app does so well that people want to buy and tell your friends about, you know, the thing your app does, you want to think about, what's the right way for me to implement search? What's the right way for me to implement share? What's the right way for me to, you know, implement the settings charm, right? Because again, that's what users are going to expect from their Windows 8 apps, and it also results in more launches and more usage and a higher quality feeling for your app. Okay? So let's start actually implementing these. So again, the contracts enable integration with Windows 8 experiences into your app. The ones that we had talked about, search, share, file picking, or you might hear it called app-to-app picking, settings, play to, and devices are some great examples. So let's talk about share. People love to share things, right? I mean, you think about how many things you get from your friends on Facebook, or they might email you something, or you know, even if you're doing things like just sharing data between two different applications, like I want this chart in this document, or I want to email somebody this picture, and so on. People love to share, right? And it was so important to us at Microsoft and the Windows team that we built it into a first-class experience, a first-class citizen of Windows, and put it on the charm bar because we knew it was important. And we also knew that it wasn't a great experience for developers today. Right? We've all been on a website where you see, you know, a picture of something or an article or something, and there's like this row of, you know, 14 by 3 of all the different ways you could share that, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, so on. So we wanted to make it easy for developers to say, hey, my app shares, it shares this kind of data. Anybody that can accept that data, go nuts. They can pull that data in and share it in an app-specific way. So let's go ahead and implement the share feature. And I've got a sample application here. It's pretty straightforward. Let me just run it so you can see what it does. It's a cookbook app. And it's an app that you could buy in the store, for example, that would have, you know, a bunch of recipes in there. So if you wanted to, you know, go through and look at all the different Chinese recipes, it would tell you a little bit about the different regions that these different recipes are from. And if you wanted to make fried rice, it tells you the ingredients and then gives you the directions and so on. Okay? But right now, this app does not participate in share. So if I was making this recipe and I was so excited and maybe, you know, this app supports a camera and I took a picture of, you know, what I just made with my slate, you know, and then I wanted to share that with somebody like on Facebook or something, and then I invoke the share charm and it's like, oh man, I'm going to go find some other way to share this, right? And it's kind of a letdown feeling. But if you implement it and you empower your users to do sharing, they're going to use your app more. You're going to be able to kind of tell people about how great your app is from, you know, shared from Contoso Cookbook. So let's go ahead and do this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to my app. And incidentally, if you want to build this app, start to finish, we're doing a workshop tomorrow called Build Your First Windows 8 Application, where we're actually going to together, like all 50 of us, we're going to sit there and we're actually going to build out this app from file new project to, you know, the end. So it's actually going to be a lot of fun. But we'll go through a couple of the contracts here so you can get a feel for what we're going to do. So I'm going to go to the Pages folder. I'm just going to right click here and say Add New Folder. I'm going to create a new folder called Search Results. And then to that Search Results, I'm sorry, I actually wanted to share first. Let's go do share. Sorry. So what I'm going to do is in my app, that page that listed the picture of the recipe, the ingredients, and the directions, that's my item detail page. And you can see in here there's lots of code to take, you know, data from the web service that I'm calling to get the recipe data and populate it into the form. But what I also want to do on this page is kind of queue up the share feature. So what I want to do is every time they go to a different page, I'm going to tell Windows 8 what I would share from this page, right? So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'll go ahead and just create a local variable that represents the current item that they're on, right? Because I'm going to have different events firing. Like when someone is on the page and they invoke the charms bar, that's going to fire off an event to my app. So I can say, OK, their share was just invoked. What do I want to package up and send, right? So I'll go ahead and do that. And then within the ready feature, which is called whenever my page is invoked, I'm just going to go ahead and populate that local variable. Right, so it's available to me anytime you know this share request comes in, right? And then the next thing that I need to do is I need to register for the event of the user actually grabbing that charms bar or hitting Windows C and invoking the share feature. So just down here at the end of ready, I'm just going to say DTM equals windows.applicationModel.datatransfer.datatransferManager get for current view. And that gives me access to this class called the Data Transfer Manager. And that Data Transfer Manager is the class that does all the heavy lifting for me on the Windows side of the share experience, such that I just tell it, hey, I want to participate in share. So anytime people request data via the data requested event, I want you to call this code, and that's when I'm going to package up the data and send it off to you, Windows. And then whoever they pick, whatever app they pick in the list, that app can interpret that data in whatever way it seems fit for you know that application, right? So the next thing I need to do is kind of unwire that event. So when they go away from the page, it's not still there. So on unload, I'm just going to remove the event listener. Okay. And then the next thing that I want to do is I want to implement that data requested function. Okay. So every time someone requests a share on my page, this is what's going to get called. Okay. So the first thing I want to do is I want to get reference to that current item, whatever item I'm showing on the page, like fried rice or quiche or whatever it might be. And then I get the request from the event args that are passed to me. And I, of course, I'm doing this, you can tell, in HTML5, but all the steps in the same process and the underlying APIs are the same for XAML-based apps. So same concepts, just a little bit of different syntax. Okay. And then what I start doing is just say request.data.properties and start passing things in, like here's the title for the description. You know, I want other people to buy my app, so I tell them, you know, install Kotoso Cookbook from the Windows Store in order to use this recipe. I take all the ingredients and I populate them into a property called setText, right? So I can share different things via share. I can share formatted text. I can pass plain text. I can pass images. Like here, I'm actually taking the URI of the background image, that picture of the fried rice, and packaging it up. Here I'm packaging up some HTML that represents, you know, the title as well, the title of that particular recipe, then a URI to the picture, right? And I want to implement as many of, in fact, I would recommend to implement all of the different data types supported within share, because that will give you the greatest list of targets to share to. Just like you should register to accept as many of the data types as humanly possible, so that makes your app show up in the share to list. Okay. So let's go ahead and just run this, and that's going to install my application. Okay, and then let's go ahead. Oh, so let's go into a recipe and say share. And then it'll show, so I implemented text, and I implemented a thumbnail, I implemented an image, and I implemented HTML. Right? And here's all the apps that support that. So Mail, I know, supports HTML. And then there's the title of the item, or the recipe, and a picture from the recipe automatically populated into that Mail. Right? So in this scenario, the share source, Kotoso Cookbooks, packages up its data to the data request manager and says, hey, here you go. Windows says, okay, here's all the apps on the local system that support that data, right? And it populates it in the list, right? And that was, in this case, a share target of the Mail app. And then when the share target event is fired for your application, Windows activates your app and said, hey, by the way, someone is trying to share to your app and passes you, again, that data package so you can interpret it in an app-specific way. This is UI from the Mail app. Just like if you were implementing a share target, you would put up UI to implement this feature in an app-specific way. So the Mail app takes this HTML and creates a new email. Your app would do whatever makes sense for your app. Like if it was a picture app, maybe it'd say, which gallery, picture gallery do you want to put it in? If someone was sharing a recipe, you know, from a different application or something they found on the web or something along those lines, then I would say, hey, what category do you want to put this recipe in? And what do you want to name it? And I'd populate all the data, and it would create a new recipe, for example. Okay? So pretty powerful. I, as the implementer of ShareSource, didn't need to know anything about the share target. I just package up the data that I have in my app and send it off. I, as a share target, don't need to know anything about the share source. I just say I can accept, you know, text, and I can accept images, and I can accept HTML, and then boom, the feature works. Okay? More launches, more stars, $1.49 times 10 million. Awesome. Okay? A really helpful app, or sample, I should say, when you start developing this feature is the share target example, because it gives you a good feel for not only how to implement the feature as a share target, but it also gives you a great way to visualize the data that you're sending. Like, here's all the text that I put in there, like the ingredients and the directions and so on, right? And you can download this from the Dev Center. Awesome. Okay? And again, the cool thing about this for me as a developer is the fact that not only is it a very powerful feature that's going to make my app more successful, but once I learn how to implement the contracts, they're all, you know, subtly different because they do different things. But the thing that's cool about them is once I kind of get used to developing with the contracts, they all kind of follow the same pattern, right? I implement the contract talking to Windows, or, you know, either sending something to Windows or receiving something from Windows, and I get the feature. It kind of follows the same pattern. Implement the contract, get the experience. Okay, so let's talk about search. So search contract makes your app searchable from anywhere in the system, right? And we saw that in the beginning where not only did it provide the search feature within my app, so I could sit there and say, hey, I'm looking for a recipe that uses eggs, right? And it shows all the recipes in Contoso Cookbook that uses eggs, right? But it also is system-wide. So if I'm sitting there and saying, you know, I'm searching for, you know, pictures, right? Or I'm searching for Italy, or I'm searching for Italy. I could search for that in the Map app. I could search for that in a Pictures app. I could search for that in IE10. I could search for Italian recipes in the Contoso Cookbook app, right? It works across the system. And it actually, if your app's not running, it launches your app and tells it, hey, this is a search launch, and gives you an opportunity to go to your search page and do search specific to what your app does and how your app works. Okay? So the thing that's cool about this, again, is there's parts of this that Windows takes care of for me, and then there's parts of it that I implement, so I integrate into Windows. So when we saw that search bar come up, right, there's some things like the search bar up there that belongs to Windows, right? If I'm the active app, I can actually support the ability to put search terms in here. So if someone types win, right, I can list all the different things that start with win specific to my app, right, and provide these search suggestions so people don't have to type the whole thing. They can just click on it, right? Below is all the different apps that support search. I want to make sure I support search. So if someone's searching for something and doesn't find it in the app they're in right now, they know my app, they love my app, they're going to say, hey, maybe I'll try Contoso Cookbook, and I'll click on that. More launches, more stars, more success, right? I can also do things like support like a direct hit. Like if I was searching for, you know, weather in the weather app, and someone starts typing in the name of a city like Orlando, O-R-L, and I take that, I can say, okay, I know that there's a city called Orlando in my app. I can provide what's called a direct hit result suggestion where I say weather in Redmond, Washington, and I give it, you know, an icon and provide a little bit of detail to let them know this is a direct hit in my app. You know, I'm not just searching for eggs, right? And showing you all the things that are in eggs. You started typing in fried rice, and I have a fried rice recipe, so I'm going to show you a picture of it, right? So a lot of cool things you can do with search. Sorry, a little slide out of order. Let's go ahead and actually develop this feature. So let me go ahead and stop the app. And I'll go into search results. And I'll right-click and I'll say add. And I'll say new item. And there's an item template for search. So in order to implement the search target contract, I select this template. You can see it gives me a little hint here or a thumbnail to show that search pane that I implement. I populate it with data and I formulate the data so it shows up in an app-specific way. That's what we're going to do. So I'll just say search target contract and say add. And you can see here that it gives me an HTML page for my markup. It gives me a CSS page for the styling of that page. And then it gives me the search results.js page where I'm actually going to put my code. Okay. It also does some wire up in the background, we'll see here in a second, to mark my manifest in the fact that I support search. So when this app is installed on the local system, it shows up in that list, right? Just like I'm going to do for file open picking, again, because it tells Windows about that metadata of your app. As far as the page is concerned, yeah, XAML and then CS. Yeah. So the question was, what's provided in this template if it's a C# app or a XAML app? Yeah, it provides, just like any XAML application or XAML page, it provides a XAML page and then a XAML.cs or .vb or .cpp page. The question was, is there any kind of styling that's associated with that? Yeah, it's the same kind of XAML styling where you would have, you know, that central XAML page, and it puts stuff in there to show the items, and you can customize that however you'd like. So yeah, I'm just showing HTML5 here, but the same kind of things apply to the XAML world. And yeah, if you're used to doing XAML today, it looks and feels very, very natural. Okay? So let's go ahead and implement this. And again, what I'm going to do here is I need to tell the app about my search page, because in my search page, I'm going to register for the event of a search being requested. So I'll go over to default.html, and I just want to link in this pages searchresults.searchresults.js. Okay, and then the next thing that I want to do is start writing the code for search results. And you can see here that I actually get a lot of stuff for free, right? So I get a handle query function that actually goes through and writes a lot of the code for handling a query coming into your app. I get an event listener, winjs.application.eventListener for activated, that's actually going to ask, hey, is this a search activation, right? And if it's a search activation, then I want to navigate to the search page, right? Which is what you're seeing here, right? And then that implements ready for the search page, which calls that handle query, right? So that calls handle query and then takes that and puts it in a list view, okay? So let's go ahead and implement this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a variable that's going to hold the results of the query so I can populate them in a list. And when someone selects an item, I'm going to take the item out of the list and pass it to the item detail page so they can navigate directly to the recipe. So first, I just go ahead and make that call to var original results. And then in handle query, let's get this guy out of the way. Okay. And then within handle query, which is called every time the search page is invoked, I'm just going to get rid of this guy because I've got it defined up above. It's going to go through and say, okay, So this.lastSearch equals args.queryText. So I'm actually passed in the arguments. When someone types in the search pane, that search string is passed to my application to interpret it in an application-specific way. And what I'm doing here is I'm actually calling a method called searchData, and then I'm taking the results of that search data and I'm populating it into a list view. Right? So in search data, I'm just going to implement the easiest possible search. There comes the rain again. You can hear because you can tell because it sounds a little bit like cannon fire. Okay, so I'm just going to interpret that search term in an app-specific way. So what do I want to search in this recipes app? Well, I want to search in the title. So I'll say item.title.match, and I've just built here a regular expression out of the search term. And I'm also going to search in the directions, since the directions list both the things that I need to do to the ingredients as well as the ingredients themselves. Okay, and that's going to return back to me this list of all of the different data items within the data my app stores that meet that criteria. And then I'm going to bind that into the list, that list view. Okay? So what happens when someone clicks on one of those items in the list view? Again, a lot of this comes from the template itself. I just need to kind of fill in some of the blanks. So I'm just going to say var item equals original results, so the resulting list from the query, dot get at, and then args is passed to me, so I say args.detail.itemindex, and that just pulls the right item out of the list, and then I say nav.navigate to the item detail page, and I pass that item. Okay? And then there's a little bit of stuff that I have to do to the HTML because the HTML that's generated from the template is fairly generic. So give me a second. Let's just go ahead and do that. So what I want to do is in those individual tiles for the search results, okay, I want to show the short title of the recipe, and then I want to show the image, right, that I'm binding here to that item, and then I want to show the preparation time. Okay, and I've got a little bit of work to do on the styling as well, just so the pictures show up right. So let's go over here and replace the styling for that individual item and the image. Okay. Then let's launch the app. So what I want to do here is I'm going to launch the app, and I'm going to invoke the search feature. All right, I'm going to start typing a search term. All right, and it goes through and actually marks for me, and it looks like I might have copied and pasted my CSS a little bit incorrectly, but you can see it goes through and returns all of the recipes that have rice in them, like the risotto and the vegetable biryani and then the quiche and the fried rice. Let me go back and figure out why that's not showing up correctly. Did I? Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's not good. Let's try it again. And you can see here, Windows remembers the search term for me. Okay, so then there are all of the different recipes that support or that have rice in them. So I took the search, Windows passed me the search term from that activation of type search, right? I took that search term, I did a quick pattern match on the data within my app, searching for the title and then the directions. And then I built all these tiles, so if someone wants to see, okay, let's look at the fried rice, because I really wanted to make a rice meal this evening. There it is. Okay? And then you'll note here that I have different groups up on the top. They're currently not hooked up. Let's go ahead and hook those up so people can do, like, filtering. I'll go ahead and stop this guy. And again, this is something that's built into the template. You just need to implement it specific to your app. So I'll just go over to searchresults.js. And here you can see there's this function called generate filters. And it just populates that with some just placeholders. But I can go ahead and implement that. I can also do things like implement search terms. So if I wanted to be able to support search terms so people didn't have to type in the entire name of the ingredient, again, that's just another event that I'm going to register for. All right, so I can say appmodel.search.searchpane.getforcurrentview on suggested and requested. So again, this is an event that's going to fire from the Windows side of things that I can interpret, so I can make suggestions on ingredients or make suggestions on classifications of recipes or the titles of recipes, right? Let's go ahead and run that. Okay, now when I run the application, and type search and say egg. See, I just typed in E and it finds one of those search terms that I suggested, right? And then they can just click on that or just keyboard, move down one and hit return. And then I can show all the recipes that have eggs in them. And you can also see all the different categories work as well. Okay? So very, very cool feature in the fact that it's something that's built into Windows. It's built into the tools. All I have to do is take the template and kind of fill in the blanks on what does my app do specific to that thing that my app is great at to implement search. Okay? And as you saw here, I can do lots of different things. I definitely want to implement the search feature just all up so people can find recipes, right? And this even works. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's go and do search and type rice. Right, and then you can see that maybe there were some files that have rice in them, rice in the name or in the body. And let's go find Contoso cookbook. And then boom, that resulted in a new launch of my application. And that search, it happens not only when my app has the active app or the active window, but I can also use it as a system-wide search. Right, and it found the rice recipes in my app. Okay, so you can do search, you can do search terms, you can do direct hits, and you can do things like quick links. So it'll populate a link there that says, oh, hey, you searched for, you know, this recipe in the past, this fried rice. Do you want to go directly there? Yeah, you had a question. Yeah, you could... the user can type whatever they want into there, and you can interpret that however you want in your app. Yeah, yeah. So it just depends on what you want to do with those search terms. Like, you could take the search term, and when there's a space there, separate that into two things you could search for and go through the data with that. So the question was, hey, what if I wanted to support, like, multiple search terms? Like, they typed in Indian and rice. And yeah, the answer is you can take that term and do whatever you want with it. So you could split that into things where you could say, okay, I'm going to, you know, in parallel or asynchronously, I'm going to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to search in the category, I'm going to search in the ingredients, I'm going to search in the title, and here's everything that came back, and I'll populate the list view that way. Cool? Yeah. Yeah, so that's an awesome question. So the question was if, and I'll paraphrase, let me know if I have it correctly, but how does the app know that it's being loaded, or how does Windows know that it needs to load the app? Yep. Yeah. Okay. So... there's two things. One is, how do I get in the list, right? I get in the list by implementing the search contract You'll see, and we'll do this in a second, where you'll see in the declarations for the app, which is me telling Windows, by the way, I support search, that puts my app in the list. When people click on my app, that results in an app launch. And within my code, you saw, in fact, let's just go there right now. Let's stop the app. This is a great question. So thanks for asking it, where if I go to declarations, you can see here's the supported declarations. And these are things that I'm telling Windows about my app. And one of them is I support search, right? And in search.js, down here at the bottom, I've told, and it's slightly different but the same concept for XAML-based app, I've told Windows, here I say windows.js.application.addEventLister activated, right? My app can be activated from someone clicking on the tile. It can be activated from someone picking my app in the search target or in the search list. I can be activated from someone picking my app from the share target list. I just need to interpret the event. And that event is called, or that launch type, I should say, the event is activated, and the launch type is @model.activation.activationKind.search. And when that happens, I'm going to go to this search.html page, which is going to run search results.js, where I'm going to get in the ready function. I'm going to say, give me the search term. Let me find it in my data, whether that's local or remote or doing it asynchronously or whatever, and populate the grid so they can say, I want fried rice. Does that make sense? Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that question. Yeah. Yeah. So are you asking like search suggestions? Yeah. So the question was, what's the limit of how many search terms that I could put in the search suggestions? Honestly, I don't know of a limit. I haven't seen anything in the documentation, and I haven't come across a limit. So I honestly don't know. But all of that can be done asynchronously. So you can sit there and, you know, parse out your question and search titles and search descriptions and build that however you want. And you can build it asynchronously. So if there was potentially 10,000 of them, maybe you're going to rank them and populate them like 1, 3, 5, you know, populate them slowly in hopes that someone finds the one they want fairly early so you don't have to return all of them. But I haven't seen a top end for what you can populate there, so I don't know if there is one. I mean, most of the apps that I've worked on, you know, we just grabbed like the first 10 or so and usually figured, we usually found what we were looking for or gave them what they were looking for. Okay? Great question. Thanks. So let me paraphrase and make sure I understand your question. I think the question was, am I free to implement any kind of a search engine that I would like within my application? Is that your question?
Yeah. So my question is, do you have search engine or is just a based
on the app? Oh, okay. Yeah, so the question was, is there a search engine within Windows that I can leverage, or is this something I need to implement myself? In the search feature, we don't provide like any kind of a search engine, so it's app-specific. But if you had, you know, like a remote service that you wanted to use and pass the term and asynchronously take care of that to populate the list, or if you've got some algorithm that you want to use, you can free to plug that in. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah, sure.
So does Windows take care of knowing if the app's already running and then using that instance, or does it always launch a new one? Or who does the management around that?
That's an awesome question. So one thing that you, and if there's probably a talk here at TechEd about process lifecycle management. In the desktop world, desktop on Windows 8 and Windows 7 and before that, you know, the user controlled the lifetime of the app. You know, they would start the app, and then when they were done with the app, they would, you know, do file close or click the X in the upper right-hand corner, and that would close the app. Metro applications that run in the Metro runtime in Windows 8, they're actually managed by Windows. So when you click on the tile, the application is started. When you move away from the app, when the user moves away from it, it's suspended. If Windows needs more memory, it's going to terminate the application. It gives you all the events that you need for suspending and terminated, so you can take care of these situations. But it also invokes your app or activates your app under different scenarios, like being a search target or like being a share target and stuff like that. So Windows manages the lifetime of a Metro application. You, as the developer, manage the events associated with those lifetime changes. And that's what we saw here. Like, if you look at default.js, right, the first thing that you're going to do is add an event listener for the activated event, and you're going to ask questions about how was I activated? Was I activated from a launch? Or maybe I was activated from being suspended, and I want to reinstantiate my state, right? If a checkpoint fires and these checkpoint events are giving me the opportunity to say, hey, you know, Windows is checking in with me and I'm going to save state periodically, so if I get suspended, I don't have a ton of work to do and so on. That's all built into the templates. If you look at the dev.windows.com and look at process lifecycle management, it tells you about the different states that your app can be in and the things that you want to do to make your app always feel like it's alive and it's ready and it's waiting there for you, right? Like, that app is probably just terminated, right? All these apps look like they're actually just running off in the background, right? They're not. When I move away from them, they're suspended. When I move back, they're rehydrated and they get memory and cycles and all that stuff. Right? And we do that to make sure that we manage resources in a way that makes Windows incredibly performant. Okay? Awesome question. Okay? So any more questions about search? Okay, let's talk about file picking. So I want to implement another feature, and I want to implement all of these different contracts, again, to make my app full-featured and make sure that every time someone wants to use my app, whether they're launching it from the tile or they're doing a search or they're doing a share or whatever, my app does something cool. So file picking is another example. I'm going to right-click here and say Add New Folder, and I'll just say File Open Picker. And then right-click here. Let's say Add New Item. And I'm going to pick the File Open Picker contract. And this one's interesting from the perspective that some of the UI associated with the file picker is my app. And some of the UI that's associated with the file picker is Windows. Right? So I'm actually interacting with Windows. When they pick something in my app, I send it to the picker. Right, so you saw when I was doing things like I was going through the mail, did I show you file picking? I didn't. What? The camera thing. Okay, yeah. So that's a good example. In fact, I've got a slide of it just so you can see what it's going to look like. Because sometimes people get a little confused the first time they see this on what's Windows and what's my app. And let's just look at that right quick. So what we want to do is, if someone is in an application and they want pictures, right? They want to add a picture. They can go into the Contoso cookbook and grab a picture of a recipe they made, right? Here you can see that I'm grabbing a couple of them, and I'm going to attach them to an email, right? Now, share is I'm in the app, I'm doing something, and I want to share it, right? File open picking and file save picking, right? Being able to say, hey, I want to save something to an app or I want to save something to a location. That's I'm in a different app right? And I want to pull something out of Contoso Cookbook, like a picture, right? So it's just a different way to do it. And if you implement both, again, it's more launches and a higher satisfaction with your app. Let's go back over here. So I created the file OpenPicker, and again, I got a JS file, an HTML file, and a CSS file. If I was in XAML, I get a XAML. I get a .xaml file and a .xaml.cs file. Okay? So one of the first things I need to do is I need to tell the declaration what kind of file types I support when someone's trying to pick something from my app. And I'm just going to be really super straightforward. And I'm going to say I support JPEGs. So if someone wants to take a JPEG of a recipe and pick it from my app, that's what I'm going to support. Right? I could support any file type. I could create a long list, do whatever I want to do. Sorry? Yeah, the default is actually support any file type, right? And I usually just pick a few that make sense for the data that's in my app, you know, whether it's text or pictures or whatever. But again, the more data types you support, the more types of file picks you can do. So let's go back to File Open Picker JS. Let's get rid of some of these other files here. We'll save that. Okay. So I'm going to create a couple of local variables. One's going to be the list view, so I could pull things in and out of the list view based on the things that you're selecting. And then one is an array of the indices of the things that are in the selection. And what I'm actually going to be doing as people click on things or select things in the list view, I'll be populating the picker with the things they selected. And I'll do that in an app-specific way. I'll give it a thumbnail of the recipe, and I'll give it a name so it knows the name of the recipe. And again, what is this event that fires? Well, it's an activated event, right? And the activation kind is windows.applicationModel.activation.activationKind.fileOpenPicker. So throughout your application, you're going to be sitting there and saying, hey, I was just activated. Was it the user launching and I want to take them to the hub page of my app? Or was it a share or a search and I want to take them to the search results page? Or was it a share and I want to take them to the share target page? Was it file open picker and I want to populate the file open picker with my UI? What would it be? So it's the same kind of a pattern. And here you can see what I do is I get access to the list view control that's within my HTML. And I populate it with a data source, right? And then I return that to Windows so Windows can show that UI. And then as they select things, in the list view, right? Because you can see here that one of the things that I'm doing is I'm saying list view.onSelectionChange call update picker UI. Within update picker UI, what do I want to do? Well, I want to figure out which of the items they selected, and if it's added, so they selected something, I want to add it to the picker. If they deselected something, I want to remove it for the picker. Right? So here all I'm doing is a little bit of code to say, give me the list view selection. Give me the indices of the items that are selected, and I'm just going to sit there and diff that against that array of the things they picked last time. And if it's new, I'm going to create a thumbnail, and I'm going to add it to the picker by saying picker UI.addFile. If it's removed, I'm going to say picker UI.removeFile. Another event that I want to take care of is in that Windows UI in the bottom, if they tap on something to remove it from the picker, I need to know about that event and I need to unselect the item in the list view. And again, I'm just going to do a little bit of list view code for that. And again, the template gives me the function. I just need to plug my code in. So I say listView.selection.remove, and I take the ID of whatever item was removed. And then let's look at what this looks like. So I'm going to go ahead and start the application again. And again, the only reason I'm starting the application here is so it installs the app on the local system. My app does not have to be running for this to work. It'll be activated for me by Windows if someone picks my app. So if I go, if I say new mail and I say attachments, now I can pick something from documents, pictures, and so on, and anybody that implements the contract, including Contoso Cookbook. Okay? You can see there's some default filters up there. I didn't implement those, but you kind of get the idea. So when I selected Contoso Cookbook, it launched my application of type file picker. So I took it to this filepicker.html page and populated the list with all the different recipes that have pictures in them. And when people select them by cross-swiping, I send them to Windows. So the gray bar across the top, the gray bar across the bottom, that's Windows. And I'm telling it all the pictures that I want to have or that I want to pick from the app, right? And if I unselect them, if I unselect them, it removes them. But then when I say attach, it goes ahead and takes all of those pictures and includes them in the email, right? So the email application doesn't know anything about the Contoso Cookbook app. There's an app that launches the picker, right, the file open picker. There's apps that support the file open picker contract, and Windows kind of puts them together in a really cool scenario. So I can pick from the camera app. I can pick from the pictures app. I can pick from Contoso Cookbook. I can pick from your app, right? Great way to give people that awesome feeling that you are a true Windows 8 app because you participate in all these experiences. More launches, more satisfaction. Okay? And you can see it was really straightforward. I just go ahead and say, in my application, I just go ahead and add the template and then implement the code that's specific to my app and specific to my data in order to implement the contract. And again, as users pick up Windows 8 for the first time, they're going to see the share feature, they're going to see the search feature, they're going to fall in love with it because it is so powerful and it is so easy to use, and it's great that it's consistent across all the applications in Windows 8 and in Metro. And so they're going to expect it of your app, right? So do a great job of implementing search and share and settings and file picking and, if it makes sense, devices, and if it makes sense, plays too, right? Because it's going to make people love your app and use your app more. So they're going to rate it higher. They're going to tell their friends. You're going to get more downloads. And you as an app developer are going to be more successful in the Windows Store. So what I did is I put together a couple of resources here to help you take the concepts that you've seen in this particular talk and actually put them in practice, building your first Windows 8 app. So if you go to dev.windows.com, that's the place to start. So whether you're a XAML developer or you're an HTML developer, whether you like VB, C#, C++, JScript, whatever, JavaScript, whatever, go there to get started. Depending on how often you've been playing with this, you might want to start at, you know, file new project. If you've been writing code for a while and you want to get right into doing these contracts, go to, and I've linked all these in the slides, Roadmap for Developing Metro-Style Apps, and then Implementing Contracts. And the Implementing Contracts article actually walks you through what all the different types of contracts are, right? Like we've covered, like search and share and app picking and so on. And then step-by-step instructions on how to implement them specific to the contract, and then you just plug in the code that's specific to your app. And then again, tomorrow I'm doing this workshop where we're going to live code, all 50 of us together, that Contoso Cookbook app from File New Project. And we'll talk about all these details like launch and how do I know whether, you know, my app was launched from the tile or was launched, you know, from a picker, and lifetime and data and all that stuff. So that's integrating Windows experiences into your application. So thanks very much. Thanks, guys. So according to the timer here, we've got 10 minutes left for questions. So if anybody has a question, grab the mic and fire away, and I'll if you have a question afterwards you want to take off the mic, we can do that too.
I have one. How does all this search work and everything like that with asynchronous applications?
Yeah. So the question was, how does this work? Or maybe, does searching support asynchronous operation? Of course. So in my demos today, I did everything synchronously to keep the code and to keep the demo as simple as possible. But in each of the cases of the contracts, you have the opportunity to implement these features asynchronously. So you can do things like, hey, go get me, based on this search term, go get me the first 10 results, and I'll populate them in a grid. And then I'll go get the next 10 and populate them in the grid, and so on, such that you can have something more complex than searching, you know, five terms, eggs, vinegar, wine, and so on, and have your app be super responsive and feel like, you know, a very performant app, and the fact that it can sit there and asynchronously do that work without tying up the UI thread. But yeah, just to make my life a little easier and your life a little easier for the demos, I just kept everything synchronous, so it was super straightforward. But when you start going through the documentation, they'll talk about how to do each of these things asynchronously. Okay? Yeah?
On the integrations, when it gets pulled up, do you have the opportunity to ask them for credentials or anything?
So the question was, when my app gets launched, do I have an opportunity to ask them for credentials?
Right.
So my answer to that will be kind of two parts. The first one will be, of course, your app is getting launched. You are the master of that app as the developer, so you can do whatever code in there that you want, whether it's asking for credentials and so on. But probably what you want to do is something along the lines of, when they use the app for the first time, have them enter their credentials and maybe associate it with their Windows account and stuff like that, so you don't have to ask them. So they just get that really quick and seamless experience of, hey, I'm picking from the app that I've already authenticated to. But yeah, you can do whatever you want. I worked on a couple of apps where, in the beginning, the first time, we get your account and we set you up, and you know, we don't ask you again unless you, you know, change your password or your account, something about your account changes, just so you get a real seamless experience. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious about the user's search experience, if there's like a lot of apps installed that all support searching.
Uh-huh.
And let's say my app is not the one that's currently in focus.
Right.
But there's a search term that comes in where I feel like I've got a killer result for that search term.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that I can do, even though I'm not the active app, is there anything I can do to differentiate my app from all the other ones that are in the list so that the user can see that I've got a really good result, rather than having to search, scroll through the list and find my app?
Yeah, there's something you can do. You can, and I'm not trying to be funny here, though. I hope what I'm about to say is funny. Yeah, you can be awesome, right? And if your app is awesome, they're always going to want to pick that app. But your app does not get invoked. The search contract puts your app in the list. Your app doing whatever it does better than any other app on the planet makes them want to pick it. So it's really implementing the search contract specific to the content, to the thing that your app does, and doing it better than anybody else, that makes them want to pick it. Yeah.
What if there's like, you know, hundreds of apps installed and they want my app, but like that list, do they just have to scroll through that list, or is there some better experience of finding the app they want?
I think that list is configurable, so you can pick where you want things. But I don't know. I haven't tried that in RP. Yeah, you can pin these, right? So you can pin the app. And if the app, you don't like the app, you can hide it, right? But this app, I think it actually goes through MRU, so most recently used, unless you pin it. But the apps that I like, because I think your app is awesome, honestly, I'm going to pin that. So I'm always going to leave it at the top, because I know I'm searching in your app all the time, and you do search better than anybody on that content or thing your app does. So I'm going to pin it to the top. and the file picker. Let's do it. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. But literally, for all these contracts, I mean, the answer, like I've had some people say, like ask me, is it possible to like make sure that my app's the only app that comes up and stuff like that? No. I mean, it's the user's PC, and they're going to install and uninstall the apps that, you know, they want on their PC. The thing that you can do is be a high-quality app and do that thing that your app does better than anybody. Yeah.
So then, yeah, it looks as though this whole automation stuff's kind of going away, and we want this notion of a contract and kind of sharing that way. Is, you know, is like the Office team working on taking Microsoft Office to the level of this kind of sharing? You know, a spreadsheet, a Word document, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't work on that team, so I don't know what their plans are, and if they have plans, I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything. So I'm just gonna say, I don't know. But I would, for Office, if you do Office development, are really interested in that. Like the Windows blog, staying current on the Office blog is a great way to follow up with them on the things they're doing for the future.
Good. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks. Yeah.
I have a question about search. For example, if I have a directory or apps like music, and the first level, it might be the singer's name, and then the next level is the singer's song. So if I fire a search, is it recursively search, or how do we define the level to search?
Well, you can do, so the question was, you know, if I've got, like in the music example, I've got, you know, I could search on artist, I could search on title, I could search on genre or whatever. You get the search term, and you interpret that however you like. So I've worked on apps where, and I'll explain this in a Contoso cookbook kind of way, where I would sit there and say, okay, I've got a search term, I'm going to break that up, if there's multiple words in it, I'm going to break that up into multiple search terms, and then asynchronously, I'm going to work on each one of those terms. And asynchronously, I'm going to take that term and I'm going to search on the artist, I'm going to search on the song title, and I'm going to search on the genre. And I'll create categories, like the categories you see here, where I'll say, okay, artists, here's the results that work. And since I'm doing it asynchronously, it does this cool fill-in where as soon as an artist shows up, it says artist group, starts filling in artists. And I do the same thing for song title and same thing for genre. So they can say, okay, I just want, you know, these filters aren't active, but I could select a filter of just show me the artists or just show me the songs and so on. You just do it asynchronously to whatever backend store you have, whether that's a, you know, local files, local database, remote service that you're calling, whatever it might be. But just use the asynchronous programming techniques that are built into the particular language, you know, promise for JavaScript or the async keyword for C Sharp and VB, and yeah. Whatever works for your app.
Thanks.
Cool. No problem. Thanks.
When you first demonstrated the search, I think you were showing the nail. And I thought, maybe I'm just remembering it wrong, but did you have, were there results shown in the search pane for the mail application? Or was that something, were those suggestions maybe?
Yeah, if I do a search, I could do a search of mail, and it'll search through my mails. Let's see if it implements the contract. Yeah, it does. So I could search for the mails. This is a demo account. There's nothing in it, so it's not going to return anything. But yeah, mail implements search. So it would do like a search of your inbox or your calendar or something.
Maybe you were demoing something else. What's at the top of the list? Was it share?
Oh, was it share? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's do this. Let's go back to IE and. Let me just find something that's shareable in sports. Oops. No, baseball's fine. I was trying to find the same article. It doesn't really matter. All right, so see this little quick link here where it says, hey, do you want to email this to Chris Mayo? Because that's something that you did in the past. You can actually, when you do a share, you can, in the receiving app, say, I want to make this a quick link. And that's what the mail app did. So it created a link called Email Chris Mayo, and that automatically invokes the mail app and does and fills in the sub or the to line as being Chris Mayo. You and your app can implement these quick links. Again, it's another way to differentiate your app. And the user can sit there and say whether they want to keep that quick link or get rid of it. At least I remembered that at one point that you could sit there and say, yeah, so here it fills in Chris Mayo. There's a way to turn those off as well. I'm somewhere in the settings, and I can't remember where that is. Okay? Cool. Well, thanks very much for coming to TechEd, and thanks very much to coming to this talk and learning about the contracts. I'll see you guys around.